Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus. I trust in you.
Hello, folks. God bless you. So glad you're joining us. We've been in the midst of a Bible study here. We were talking about sin and lasciviousness and willful disobedience and such things as that. And I was remembering what Jude had to say concerning lasciviousness, a great problem in our time, folks, a great falling away. We're in the midst of a great falling away, but we're coming to a greater falling away, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The falling away that comes before the son of perdition is revealed. No matter who you believe the son of perdition is, do you know, folks, that according to our type and shadow in the Old Testament, 10 out of 12 tribes worshiped the image of the beast. Now, folks, that was a great falling away. And I'm going to tell you, multitudes of Christians are, in a spiritual way, doing the same thing. But one day, in a physical way, we'll do that too. We're warned by Jude in verse 3. Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you, to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. Well, that is so important. We need to get back to the faith of our fathers. It's the only faith with power. We have fallen into great lasciviousness because of false doctrines in our day. So contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in privily, even they, who were of old time written of beforehand unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness or licentiousness, and denying the only Master, denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. You know, lasciviousness just means an absence of restraint. It means a license to do what you want to do. And obviously there are doctrines out there in Christianity that permit people to feel comfortable in their sins because they don't realize that the Lord Jesus delivered us and he gave us power over sin, power over the world, power over curse. And since they don't have any power, they basically have made peace with their sins. And made doctrines that permit them to live in peace with their sin. But the warning goes on. It says, now I desire to put you in remembrance, though you know all things once and for all, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Notice that. He saved them, destroyed them, because of their unbelief. Now you know, the Israelites who went out of Egypt were obviously in type saved because they ate the lamb, they had the Passover, they went through the Red Sea, they were baptized in the Red Sea, they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, which represents spirit and water baptism. But then, because of their unbelief, multitudes of them fell in the wilderness. Never made it to the promised land. Well, folks, we're about to come to a wilderness. Many people are going to be tried severely. There is going to be a great falling away before the son of perdition is revealed. I don't want to get into that right now, but there is going to be a great falling away. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the church is full of these ungodly men preaching lasciviousness. Preaching a gospel that there is no hope of the power of God to overcome sin. Preaching a gospel that basically lets you be okay in the midst of your sin. Preaching a gospel of just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Never mind the gospel that was once preached to the world. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, which is repent and believe. They didn't preach the gospel of accept. The gospel of accept has filled the churches up with tares. That's right, because anybody can accept, but not anybody can accept, can repent and believe. First of all, faith is a gift from God. Ephesians 2 and 8, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, all have not faith, the Bible says. We're commanded to be careful because all do not have faith. If you have a gift of faith in God, you have power from God. One of the main sources or doctrines that permits a life of lasciviousness is a misunderstanding of eternal life and how we gain eternal life and how we have this covenant with God. Let me read something to you in Galatians chapter 3, okay? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. Notice, the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. Notice that our new covenant is also described as the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet when it hath been approved or confirmed, no one maketh it void or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. Notice this. We're still talking about this covenant that we received through Jesus Christ. It's Abraham's blessings, but he says, to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. To Abraham and to Jesus were the promises spoken, folks. Now this I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand by God, the law, which came 430 years after, does not disannul, so as to make the promise of none effect. In other words, the covenant of Abraham is still in effect. The covenant of the law did not disaffect that covenant. Watch carefully. For if the inheritance is of the law, it's no more of the promise. But God hath granted it to Abraham by promise. And to Abraham's seed, by the way, by promise. Okay? What then is the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made, which is, of course, Christ, right? And it was ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator. So look, folks, he's likening our covenant to the covenant that God made with Abraham. Now, if you go back there and you look at the blood covenant that God made with Abraham, Abraham didn't have a whole lot to do with it. It was really a covenant of grace because Abraham was put to sleep when that covenant was made, meaning it wasn't according to his works or his power or his ingenuity. It was a gift of God. God made the blood covenant, and Abraham went to sleep. Awesome. Well, you know what? That's exactly what we've got. Our covenant doesn't have anything to do with us keeping the works of the law. It has to do with us accepting a free gift in Christ Jesus. But notice that this covenant wasn't made with you and with me. It was made with Abraham and Jesus Christ. Well, If this promise is to Jesus Christ, if the promises are to Jesus Christ and not to us, how do we become involved in this? Yeah, Bill says, well, in case you don't know it, folks, there's other people in the room here with us. You may not be able to hear their voice, but Bill just said Galatians 2:20. Well, that's a good point. Galatians 2:20 says, it's no longer us that lives. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer I that live. But I've got another point to make here. 1 John 5 and verse 11. If the promise was to the seed, not seeds, and the seed is Christ, then the only way we can have the promise is to abide in the seed of Jesus Christ. This is what a lot of people don't understand. People have the idea that God gave unto them a gift of eternal life and they can no way lose that gift. But I want to tell you that the gift that was given to us in Jesus Christ, and that's the only place you can claim it. Okay? Verse 11. And the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Very interesting. So do you think that God put a gift of eternal life in your hand, or did he only make that promise to Jesus? No. He only made that promise to the seed as of one, to Jesus Christ. He gave that gift to him. For you to claim it, you have to be in him. And this is eternal life. I'm going to read you a little bit further down here, as a matter of fact, in verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we know. My Bible's getting old here, folks. I'm having trouble seeing it. Actually, it's even torn right there, getting worn out. Him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the true God and eternal life. We are in Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. You don't have eternal life outside of Jesus Christ. That's the lie that the world and the worldly church is putting out there. Matthew. Turn to Matthew. No, I'll tell you what, I'm going to change directions here just a little bit. I'm going to go to John 15. John 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. So actually, folks, you know what it means for a branch to be in Christ? Jesus said, he said to his disciples, I'm the vine and you are the branches. To be in Jesus Christ and to be a branch is to be a child of his. However, you know that there are branches that do dry up and die, even while they're still connected. And it usually has something to do with the sap not freely flowing into the branch. Well, we've got to be partakers of the life of Christ. We've got to not only be attached to him, but we have to be partakers of his life. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. Many make a big deal in John chapter 8 where it speaks of that no man can pluck him out of my hand. But they don't read the verse before it, which says that my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. It is true that no one can take you out of God's hand. But in this case, we're not talking about anyone taking you out of God's hand, but God himself doing it. And he says, Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Why? Because eternal life is abiding in Jesus Christ. God has given to us eternal life, but this life is in his Son. Without being connected with him through faith and repentance and obedience, we're not going to bear fruit, and we're not going to have that eternal life. He that abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Notice that they were in him, but now they're no longer in him. If you abide in me, and listen to what he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, we're coming to a very dangerous time in history when God's people are going to need power. They're going to need authority. They're going to need their prayers to be heard. They're going to need the commands of faith to be done. And he tells us, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And he goes on in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We must abide in Christ. We must have his word in us to abide in him. If his word is not in us, then the sap is not freely flowing into us. We're not connected. His word has to be in us. It has to be that gift. Turn to Matthew 13 now. The parable of the sower. Probably most of you know it by heart, right? In Matthew 13, the Lord freely admits that there are people at one time that were grafted into him that would not bear fruit. You know the parable of the sower? The sower went forth to sow, and the seed that he sowed was the word of God, right? In verse 19, I won't go back to the parable itself, we can look at the interpretation or that the Lord gave us here. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, he's explaining the sower and the seed being sown. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. Now he's explaining his experience with the Pharisees right up above here in verse 11 and 12 and 13, when he spoke to them in parables and his disciples complained that, Lord, they don't understand what you're saying. And why are you speaking to them in parables? And Jesus said basically that unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto them it's not given. So basically he spoke the word, they heard it, but it bore no fruit, and the devil took it away from them. That's the person he's talking about in verse 19. Many hear what we say. They hear it with their ears, and they might think on it for a short time, but it's gone pretty quick. I mean, the devil steals it because it's not given to them. They haven't been given a gift of faith and a gift of repentance. The Bible says God grants repentance, by the way. However, the next three that the Lord speaks about in the parable of the sower all receive the seed of the word, like the one in John 15 who was in him but didn't bear fruit, and the branch withered, right? You know, there are a lot of people that came into the kingdom with me, folks. I received a gift from God to desire the truth and desire the word and to read the word day and night And even when it started, this gift started to leave me, I prayed to God to bring it back, and he did, you know. You can't do anything more important in the kingdom than to put the Word of God in your heart. It is the life of Jesus Christ. It is the Word made flesh. Verse 20 says, "And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word, and straightway with joy receiveth it." Now, you don't run into a lot of people that receive the word with joy. You usually recognize those people as Christians. This is someone who received it with joy. Well, the world doesn't receive it with joy. You understand? This is somebody who's received a born-again spirit. That's why they're receiving it with joy. "Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, straightway he stumbleth." So there are people who enter the kingdom with us that stumble when they're tried with the word. You know, when the word goes into you, trial comes too. Because the word that's not tried is not rooted. It has to be tried. So expect there to come trials that appear to be contrary to the word. Verse 22, "And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Another that the word didn't do any good for. But they did receive the word. Notice that where he sowed the seed of the word was in the heart. Verse 19. And, you know, the heart is the womb that the seed was giving fruit to. In the very next parable, Jesus is telling us that he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Well, the word seed there is the word sperma. The sperma of Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Do you want to bring forth Jesus Christ? There's only one way. You've got to permit his life to be sown in you through the word, which is his sperma. It has all of his life, it has all of his nature in the seed of the word, you see. If you don't give good ground, good fertile ground, if you don't become like a fertile womb to receive the seed of the word, you will not bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. Even if it's in your mind, but you don't give it place in your life, you will not receive the life of Christ manifested in you. Verse 23, "And he that was sown upon the good ground," this is the third one, that actually received the seed of the word. The first one, as I'm saying, received it in the mind, but it obviously brought forth no fruit. They didn't believe it, and it didn't continue. Now he's saying, "And he that sows upon good ground, he that was sown upon good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily bringeth forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30. And the same parable in Luke 8:15 says, "He that in an honest and good heart holds fast the word." So, folks, there's three different kinds of Christians there. The first one was somebody that heard the word and didn't receive it. But the other three are people that heard the word and received it and even held it for a while. But the last one gave good ground to the word, and it brought forth fruit. Now, if the seed is the word of God, and we know that Jesus is the word made flesh, he was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God. He was the word. And the seed is also the sperma of Jesus Christ. Then what kind of fruit would the word bring forth in us? Another lascivious doctrine is that the kind of fruit that we bear is to go and speak to other people and bring them into the kingdom. That just causes lasciviousness. No, the truth is that God expects the fruit of Jesus Christ in us, the very life of Christ to be manifested in his people. Not the life of another Jesus, the life of the same Jesus that is manifested in the Gospels. The same Jesus, not another Jesus. In John chapter 6, for instance, look at John 6, and let's start in verse 47. Now, remember what we found out, that eternal life was being in Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth hath eternal life. So this is not just acknowledgement. You know, the devil acknowledges Jesus. He knows who he is. You know, the demon said, we know who you are. We know Jesus and we know Paul. But who are you, you know, in another case? So they know Jesus, but it don't save them. This is not the kind of belief that we're talking about here. Okay? In verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which cometh down out of heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. In other words, have eternal life. If you eat the bread that comes down out of heaven, you have eternal life. You remember that when they ate the manna in the wilderness, and literally, in some cases in the Old Testament, the word is man. Man. The man that came down out of heaven that gave life in the wilderness was Jesus Christ, the Word of God. It represented the Word of God. And they were tried every day to see if they would keep God's Word or not by whether they would gather a day's portion every day. That's what the Scripture says. Every day we should be gathering a day's portion of the manna of the Word of God, because that Word is eternal life. That Word manifesting in us is Jesus Christ. It's manifested as the fruit of Jesus Christ. If the seed sown is the sperma, then the fruit has to be his very life and nature. Okay? Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I give is my flesh for the life of the world. Now you know, in John 1 and 14, the Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The bread of life that comes down out of heaven, the seed of the Word of God that comes down out of heaven, is Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh. So, when we eat of this manna, when we partake of the Word of God, it brings forth the life of Christ in us. If we give it fertile soil, if we give it a repentant heart, if we receive it in fertile ground and hold it fast and give it root, it will bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, you can be a Christian for many, many years. You can even be used of God greatly. You can be manifesting his gifts greatly. But if you're not giving fertile ground to the Word in your own heart and in your own life, it won't do you any good. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And how do we bring forth good fruit? We receive the Word of God. How often in the wilderness did they receive the Word of God? Was it a one-time thing? Did they just eat the manna and then walk all the way through the wilderness? Or was it a daily thing? It was a daily thing that they ate the Word of God. And God tried them to see if they would keep his Word by seeing if they would gather a day's portion every day. That's what he says. Now, when we gather a day's portion every day, we have a lot more likelihood of bringing forth fruit. You know, when sperma is sown, it's not just one seed that is sown, is it, that brings forth the fruit. There is a likelihood that some of the seed will not bring forth fruit, right? In other words, you have to continually put the seed of the Word of God in your heart. People talk about Jesus living in their heart. But I want to tell you something. to the extent the Word of God lives in you, to that extent Jesus lives in you. You can't say just because you have a born-again spirit that Jesus lives in you. You have the spirit of Jesus living in you. What about the soul of Jesus, which is the nature and the character of Jesus? See, God gave us a born-again spirit so that we could walk with Him, walk in obedience to His Word, and receive a born-again soul. That's called sanctification, right? So he says here, verse 21, or verse 20, therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. What is the fruit? The fruit is Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the Word of God living in you. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's the doctrine nowadays, folks. If you call Him Lord, if you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not true. Many people have accepted Him, but He doesn't accept them because they don't repent and believe. This is the gospel. We were commanded. Repent and believe, not accept. Repent and believe. That's the lascivious gospel. If that's all you're hearing, get out of those churches and get into one that preaches the truth. You must repent. You must change your mind. That's what the word metanoeo means. Repent. Change your mind. You must change your mind. You must now believe what the scripture says about you. You must believe what it says of the good news that God gave you concerning your deliverance from the curse, your deliverance from sin, your deliverance from sickness. You must believe all those promises. Okay? You must walk as a believer, because the one that believes has eternal life. The one that believes is the one that's abiding in the Son, which is where eternal life is. Okay? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Well, now, if you preach that in most churches and they didn't know it was in the Bible, they'd say, well, you're talking salvation by works. Folks, every work is not a bad work. There's a work that comes from God, and there's a work that comes from you. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were you created for good works. If Jesus lives in you, His works will be coming out of you. In fact, He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. You cannot believe on Jesus and not have His works, according to His own statement. There are people that say they believe on Jesus, but if you judge their fruit, which is their works, you know that that's not the truth. That's a lascivious gospel. They acknowledge Jesus like the devil acknowledges Jesus. The truth is, if you believe in Jesus, you will do His works. He said so. John 14 and 12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. So, how does God judge our faith? If our faith is what saves us and not our works, how is He going to be able to judge our faith? It's real simple. If a man doesn't have works, he doesn't have faith. I will show you my faith by my works. If you believe in Jesus Christ, His works will be in you, and you will be doing His works. I don't doubt that it doesn't happen in an instant. We progressively walk into Christ. We learn to abide more and more in Christ. To the extent that you're abiding in the Word, to that extent you're abiding in Christ. And to the extent you're walking outside of the Word, to that extent you're not abiding in Christ. Now, I realize that we abide in Christ by faith. But faith is not manifestation. Faith is believing you have received when you don't see the manifestation. That's what faith is. So, when you walk by faith, God gives you power to abide and to walk in Jesus Christ. Without faith, you can't do that. You cannot abide in Him. Okay? So when you believe His promises, you've been given power from God to walk and abide in Him. Now, He said, Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? And by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So there are people who are quite gifted. They may have all kinds of gifts from God, but it's not gifts that are eternal life. It's fruit that is eternal life. It is the life of Christ in you that is eternal life. If you have that and you have the gifts, then fine. If you have the gifts and don't have fruit, that's bad. Many have wonderful gifts, or they're even leaders in Christianity, but don't have the fruit, because the word does not live in them. See? In verse 24, everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them and doeth them shall be likened to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Now, Paul said that he was a wise master builder, didn't he? He was an apostle and a wise master builder. He built on the foundation that was already laid, which was Jesus Christ. You know, we have to build from the foundation up. We can't start from the top down. I know that people have asked that on this program that we talk a lot about prophecy. And I like to talk about prophecy. But I also know that prophecy doesn't do people any good unless they have a foundation. Because, you know, there are a lot of people that study prophecy and study prophecy and study prophecy, but they don't study what it is to abide in Jesus Christ. So, yes, truly, these things are coming. But what are you going to do when they do come? And suppose you're wrong about what you think concerning their coming. Will you be able to stand up? I can tell you that unless you're founded on the rock, which is the Word of God, you will not stand up. And unless you're partaking of that manna every day, you will not stand up. And he says here, everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Is this true in your life now? Never mind all the troubles that are about to come upon the world. Is this true in your life now? Are you standing up? Or is the trials and the tribulations and the winds of life tearing down your kingdom? You know, the gates of hell will not prevail against the true kingdom of God. Are the gates of hell prevailing against you? Well, it's because you're not becoming that kingdom by being founded upon the rock, right? And everyone that hears these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. No foundation. Not on the rock of the word. And the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. The key, folks, is the word of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. You know, folks, if the Word of God is being taught in your church, it will drive off more people than will stay. If a lascivious gospel is being preached there, you can fill buildings with just accept Jesus. I mean, these people will come in and they will be tithers and they will look to you as a leader if you preach that. But I can tell you, you'll split hell wide open for that kind of a false gospel. Listen to what Paul said. Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you. Remember that we're to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Okay? What is it to abide in Christ? 1 John 2 tells us, if that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son. That's the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. If that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son. You cannot abide in the Son with your own doctrines, with the lascivious doctrines that are being preached in churches nowadays. You're not abiding in the Son if you believe that. Paul said, I'm making known to you the gospel which he preached, which also you received, wherein also ye stand, and by which also you are being saved. That's what it says. It says that in the received text. It says it in all the ancient manuscripts. It says it in the numeric pattern. God's got a numeric pattern in his word. You can't add a letter or take a letter without ruining that pattern. It's got to be the original, or the numeric pattern is not there. If any of you want to go on my site, I talk about numerics under Revelations and Teachings, and it's awesome what God's done. You have to have this word in here for this to be correct. He said, "Which also, by which also you are being saved." You see, we were saved by faith, we're being saved by manifestation, and we will be saved too when the Lord comes. He that endureth to the end shall be saved, the Bible says. Now watch. By which also you are being saved, if it's unconditional eternal security, why is there an if here? If you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. Can people believe in vain? That's what Paul is saying here. Multitudes of people are believing in vain, because they're not holding fast to the word, and they're not believing the gospel which was given by him. The good news that Jesus took away our sin, that Jesus bore the curse for us. Are you holding fast the gospel? Do you have a problem with sin? It could be because you don't believe that you've been given authority over sin by what Jesus did at the cross. You don't believe that he actually took away the very nature of sin at the cross. Notice, you're only being saved if you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. If you're not holding fast to the word, the gospel that Paul preached, then you believe for nothing. Do you know that multitudes of people nowadays are like the 10 tribes that fell away and worshiped the image of the beast, didn't have the true temple like Benjamin and Judah did. Benjamin and Judah stuck with the true temple of God. The rest of them made their own. And they worshiped the image of the beast, which was the golden calf. They were reprobated by God. Now, the things that happen unto them are for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. There is a great falling away coming, folks, because people are not believing the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, there's a condition here. By which also ye are being saved. That gospel that he preached. By which also you are being saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. You can believe in vain. Now look at Colossians. We have basically the same warning from the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Now let me explain reconciled. Reconciled is the word katalesso, and it means an exchange. An exchange. God made an exchange at the cross. Jesus became sin for us, and we became the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus became cursed for us. Galatians 3 and 13, God put our curse upon Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say that we might have the blessing of Abraham. There's an exchange that was made at the cross. We're ministers of this reconciliation. We are to bring the gospel to the people around us so that there may be an exchange in their life, that Jesus may manifestly take away their sins and give them his righteousness. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. Now, people talk about that Jesus is coming for a spotless and blemishless bride. But notice, there's a process to become spotless and blemishless. There has to be a reconciliation made. And how is this going to be accomplished? According to Paul, it's not going to be accomplished unless you hold fast to the word. He goes on to say, here's that word if again, verse 23. If. Notice, he's going to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that you continue in the faith. Has nothing to do with what you once believed, folks. It has to do with, are you walking by faith in the gospel that was once given now? Not the gospel of the apostate churches in our day, the gospel that was once delivered unto the saints. Contend earnestly for the gospel that was once delivered unto the saints. And he's saying, if so be that you continue in that faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. There it is again. How do you abide in Christ? If that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son. If you're listening to another gospel, you're not abiding in the Son. It's another gospel that brings forth another Jesus by another Spirit. That's what Paul said. So, if you're not holding fast to the gospel that Paul preached, then this condition is not true for you. If so be that you continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Folks, we got to hold fast to the word of God for it to bear fruit in us. The fruit that it bears in us is Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, who was the promise made to? Abraham and his seed. He didn't say seeds as of many. He said seed as of one. And if you abide in Christ through faith and through the gospel that was once given, then you have eternal life. Do you know who's going to heaven, folks? That's right. Only Jesus Christ. No one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven. You remember the manna that came down out of heaven? It gives life to the world. We saw that it was the Word of God. You know what the Word creates in us? The Word made flesh, just like it did in Jesus. Now, who's going to heaven? The Word manifested in you is going to heaven. The rest of you is not. Do you understand that only the fruit is going to be picked? God's not caring about the plant. The plant dies down here. They plow plants back under. They just want the fruit when the farmer plants the seed, right? They just want the fruit. The fruit is Jesus in you. As we saw before, the sperma brings forth the fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. You pick the fruit. The Lord is coming after himself manifested in the earth. He's coming after his children. How can you be a child of God without the Word of God manifested in you? The Word of God is his sperma. You see, many people are very happy in religion because it's lascivious. It permits you another way into the kingdom while you still live in your old sinful ways. And since it doesn't offer any deliverance from sin, as the gospel clearly does, the Bible says he made you free from sin. He delivered you out of the power of darkness. If you believe the true gospel, you don't believe that sinner saved by grace stuff. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't say we are sinners. It says the very opposite. It says we're saints. You claim to be a saint? You know, when I was raised in the Catholic Church, they thought only saints were particularly holy people that got to go to heaven, you know, and they were saints. No, folks, the Bible calls those saints the sanctified ones. That's what the word saint means, sanctified ones. What is sanctification? It's the process of separating you from sin unto God. It's the process of reconciliation. What's reconciliation? The exchange. It's the process whereby you give up your sin to God and you accept His life in you. The seed of the Word of God will bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ in your heart if you will give it good ground. And if you are distracted by the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches, you know, like the parable Jesus gave about the man who said, oh, don't have time now, Jesus. Married a wife. Don't have time now, Jesus. Got a yoke of oxen. Don't have time now, Jesus. Bought some land. Most of God's people don't have time to get their day's manna every day. They're distracted by the world. They don't see that the only thing that's important here is to have the seed of Jesus in them to bring forth the fruit of Jesus, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Eternal life is something that we receive by faith at the very beginning. But you know, when you ask for God, ask something from God by faith, you have to endure in that faith to see it manifested. When you ask God for a healing, you have to endure believing until you see it or you don't get it. He that endureth to the end shall be saved, Jesus said. Don't receive that lascivious gospel of just accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. Accept Him every day after you've repented and believed. Accept Him at every moment and every trial after you've repented and believed. Repent every day when you read the Word of God. Don't read it with your Baptist or Catholic or Pentecostal glasses on. Get in there and read it like you've never heard it before. Throw out your preconceived ideas. It's the only thing you should respect. It's the only thing that brings forth Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only one that's entering the kingdom. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, there's only one hope of glory, and that is Christ in you. He will enter the kingdom. He is holy. He is the seed as of one. If you learn to abide in Him and His words abide in you, you will enter the kingdom. If a latter-day word, a modern-day word, is the only thing that abides in you, you're not bearing fruit unto Jesus Christ. 30, 60, and 100-fold, that's God's demand. This was the one out of the three that entered the kingdom. You know, folks, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. We've been told another word that makes the Word of God lascivious, and that is that the called is all the people of the world. Well, that's a lie. The Apostle Paul told Timothy that Jesus saved us and called us. You see, folks, you don't get called until you get saved. I challenge you to do what I did years ago. Pick up your concordance and look up the word called. You'll find out there's no such thing as somebody that's called that's not one of the children of God. Called means invited. We are invited to partake of the kingdom of God. One verse, 1 Timothy 6. I'll read it to you very quickly. I think we're running out of time here. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith, lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto thou wast called, and didst confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. Notice, folks, we are called unto life eternal.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org.
We can cleanse.
Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus. Thank you.